Today on Real Radio.
Do you know what most scholars believe about that verse? That when Jesus was there teaching, the summer had come rather rapidly. It was an unusual time. And everything began to bud and to flow forth. It was an unusual time. It was very unusual. And so when he said, hey, look to the hills, suddenly, look unexpectedly, consider the seasons. It's kind of caught us off guard. Look to the hills. And there were people along the hills with their white robes on. They were harvesting the early, early spring produce that was taking place. And Jesus, just as he would have in his teaching, would have had them look to the hills. Look, they're already white unto harvest. All these people in their robes out there working the fields. And Jesus is saying that's how it is concerning the work of the Christian. And the Holy Spirit has got to be behind that work.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the author of the letter, emphasizes unity among believers. Well, the section we're now exploring is where he expounds a bit on gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called United in the Gifts.
That's why we're to be hanging on to the Word and be in fellowship with one another and be in prayer and to be fighting. And the Holy Spirit will give us the power. God uses His creation. It's really not going to mean much to me if an angel comes out of heaven. Now listen, those of you and I who had our spiritual introduction into the cults. If an angel appears in your bedroom and says, hey, I know the Bible says this, but this is the right way to go the other way. Paul says, don't listen to any kind of angel like that. But you know what? A second thought comes to my mind is, why would I want to listen to the testimony of an angel? Can you imagine an angel saying, you know, let me tell you how God's changed my life. I used to be a drunk. Really? I mean, you're just up in heaven, just drunker than a skunk, huh? Yeah, you know, and that's not going to go over on me. It's not going to go over on you. If an angel shows up on the scene and says, boy, I was really, really bad. It's not that important to me. I want you, want me to confide in one another and to be able to share, this is what Jesus has done for me. Humans, one-on-one, this is what Christ has done for me. And He can do the same for you. We can relate to one another because we come from the same mold. And that mold, now don't get offended and run off your analyst with this one. But our mold is cracked. And that crack that runs through the mold that we came out of is weakness. We have a propensity toward failure. And human history is what it is because of that. That's why we need God tonight. In Revelation 5, verse 13, the Bible says, every creature which is in heaven, which is on earth, which is under the earth, and such are as in the sea. That's a lot of creature. And all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. All of His creation that God has made. What does this play toward us? What role? The origin of the Holy Spirit and the gifting? Well, first of all, realize that the creation is in need of the power, is in need of the presence of God and the giftings of God. All of creation is dependent upon the Lord. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And for your will they exist and were created. Colossians 1:15 says he is the image, that is Jesus, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That word firstborn simply means the governor over all of his creation. And Psalm 97, verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. So we're going to look tonight at the origin. Turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. A little bit to the left, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And Luke tells us there, concerning the origin of the Holy Spirit and his gifting for our lives. It says in verse 6, beautiful setting, you can just imagine being there on that hilltop. It says, therefore, verse 6, when they had come together, they're all standing there, they asked him, that is Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I mean, things couldn't have been going better. This is great. We've got our Lord and the power and all the stuff is going on and the miracles have been going on. And I mean, it's going to happen now. And Peter and James and John and Thomas, and they're all together. They're thinking, you know what? I can just see the hallway now. I'll be like vice president. You'll be secretary of defense. The kingdom's going to be established. And Jesus blows their minds. In verse 7, he says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. He said that 2,000 years ago. Why? Because it wasn't time for them to know the times or the seasons. Paul the Apostle gives us a little backdrop and says later on in our age, he says, concerning the times and the seasons, you will have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself will know. But Jesus says, no, not now. We've got some work to do. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Verse 9 says, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud, that is the glory of God, received him up out of their sight. And that departure was the greatest thing that could have happened to those Christians. Can you imagine Jesus leaving? It was the best thing that could have happened. Because on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, answering that prayer of Jesus in John chapter 14. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the world does not receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. That word is para, alongside, and he shall be in you. And that is the Greek word that means to come upon for service. Not for salvation, but for service. And so when Paul is talking in Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 16, he's talking about the Christian church being empowered for service. These guys asked a good question in Acts chapter 1. Just wasn't applicable at the time. But Jesus gave the applicable answer. Basically, he was saying, boys, roll up your robes, roll up your sleeves. We got a lot of work to do. There's work to be done. The Bible tells us in John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. By the way, you know that work is still being done through us. Don't say that there are still four more months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you now, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. You know what most scholars believe about that verse? That when Jesus was there teaching, the summer had come rather rapidly. It was an unusual time. And everything began to bud and to flow forth. It was an unusual time. It was very unusual. And so when he said, hey, look, look to the hills, suddenly, look unexpectedly, consider the seasons. It's kind of caught us off guard. Look to the hills. And there were people along the hills with their white robes on. They were harvesting the early, early spring produce that was taking place. And Jesus, just as he would have in his teaching, would have had them look to the hills. Look, they're already white unto harvest. All these people in their robes out there working the fields. And Jesus is saying, that's how it is concerning the work of the Christian. And the Holy Spirit has got to be behind that work. And wherever the Holy Spirit is in your life or in a church, there will be order, there will be power, there will be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And is that true in our lives? In Matthew 9:37, Jesus said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And then he asked us to do this. He says, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And I personally believe that the Lord of the harvest is none other than the Holy Spirit himself. But Jesus said in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, "You shall," not maybe or you could, "receive power." He says, "You shall." You shall receive power. When? Well, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's all of us. That's not the pastor or the board or the worship team. It's all of us. And so how does he do this? How does he accomplish whatever work he wants to do? He does it with the power, with his own power. I mentioned to you that the word is dynamite, dunamis in the Greek. The word means a miraculous power to do, an unusual ability to perform. Did you hear that? An unusual ability to perform. I like what Warren Wiersbe says in his book, on The Servants of God is the book's title. He says, "If you can explain in your church what's being done, God is not doing it." Don't you like that? If you can explain in your church what's going on, God is not doing it. Get a little nervous, you know, the church has got a flow chart with a little stick, you know, and the pastor's pointing. This is where we're going to be on July 9th. And they got everything laid out. By the way, if there's a flow chart in a church, it shouldn't be like a pyramid with some ding-dong at the top. It should be inverted upside down with the ding-dong on the bottom. And the ding-dong title is pastor. If you can explain it all, God's not in it. It's miraculous power to do unusual abilities. Abundant strength to continue is another definition of that word. Boy, don't we need that? Abundant strength to continue. How many of you? Don't raise your hand. Because if you don't raise your hand, you'll probably be lying. How many of you sometimes just don't feel like going on? We all could raise our hands. It's like this is too hard. Listen, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon us, will give us power to go to work tomorrow. To give us power to go to church. I got a phone call tonight right before service. I don't know if you're here tonight. I don't know if you're here. But the phone rang and you were having a very, very rough time. And I said on the phone, "You know, church is tonight. Get to church tonight. See what God will say to you. We're not going to talk any further because, first of all, it starts pretty soon. And I got to go. You be there." God will take, the Holy Spirit will take, God the Holy Spirit, will take the Word and make it power in our lives. Sheep will grow and reproduce. An example of this power is in Acts 6:8. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, I love this guy, Stephen. Stephen, the Bible says, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. The word full in Acts 6:8 is the word that we all know, plethora, in the Greek. Plethora. A multitude of power. A multitude of faith he had. Now that's kind of discouraging for me because I don't have a multitude of power and I don't have a multitude of faith. But I bet you if you asked Stephen, you in just a few short years are going to be annaled in the Bible and it's going to say that you have a plethora of power and a plethora of faith. Stephen probably would have said, "Are you kidding me? Man, I don't even know what I'm doing. I can't explain it. I've read Wiersbe's book and I agree with him fully. I can't explain what's going on. I just know God is great." Maybe he would have said that. We read Acts 6:8 and we get discouraged. I love how God uses vessels. He won't let the vessel know that it's being used. You want to know why? Because even if the vessel doesn't have a head, the head will get big. They won't even be able to fit through the door. Oh my, look, God's using me. They won't even be able to get through the door. That's how God uses things. It's His power. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In the Old Testament, now we're still talking about the origin, and we're going to do that tonight. Listen to this. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon, in, or alongside someone as the task called for, and then he would leave. Remember King Saul? King Saul was with the prophets, and he was prophesying. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and King Saul prophesied among the prophets. Very unusual. But the Holy Spirit then would depart. King David, the Holy Spirit would come upon him, and he would prophesy, and then the Holy Spirit would depart. Isn't that weird? He would be like the wind. He would come and go. You and I, and even the most godless, most reprobate sinner in the universe right now, does not have a clue. None of us have a clue, including that person, what the world would be like if the Holy Spirit was not present in the world. Something happened on the day of Pentecost that changed the attitude of the universe, specifically in the hearts of men, even unbelievers. I believe there's a morality that's out there. There's good people that will fight for morality, you know that. Probably more vocal than any of us. And they don't even believe in your God. But they're pushing for morality. And sometimes I wonder if that's not the work of the Holy Spirit, even in a non-believer's life. But the Old Testament function of the Holy Spirit was very interesting. Now in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit would come alongside. Yes, that's true. That's where he left off in the Old Testament. But he would come inside in salvation, renewing the believer, bringing them to faith in Christ. And then from the book of Acts on, we read about this coming upon experience of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit for continued service. And Jesus goes on to say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall be, not maybe, you might be witnesses for me. No, he says, you shall be. You know what, you guys, do we believe this book or not? Do we or do we not believe this book? He says, we shall be witnesses of his. That's what he said. If we're not, then maybe we need the person of the Holy Spirit upon us. You may be saved. You may be going to heaven. The Holy Spirit certainly lives in you if that's the case. But you have no power. You say, I'm not going to do it, and you wind up doing it again. Listen. The Bible says to get away from that stuff, forsake that stuff. And you might say, Jack, I'm hooked. You might be hooked on drugs. You might be hooked on something, sex or whatever. And you cry out to God and you say, God, I know. Can you do this? Whatever it is in your life, you can say, look, God, I know that what I'm pursuing is wrong. I can read it in your word. It's wrong. There's this weakness in my life, and I see your holiness over here, and even though I know you, there's a gulf between me and you, and it can't be bridged. God, help me. And Lord, fill me, baptize me in the power of your Holy Spirit. And God will give you the power. But the responsibility will also be ours to act upon that power. He will empower us. But you've got to take the situation by the tail, so to speak, and throw it out of the window. But he'll give you the power. You know, if you're fighting weight, the other day I gained some weight in Germany, and you know, you have to gain weight in Germany. It's ridiculous. The food there is so great. And I don't even eat pastries. And everywhere you go, there's these incredible things on the streets. They're from heaven, these pastry things. They're perfect. And this is like, I want more of these. Can I find more of those? You gain some weight, so you come home. And the thing is, if you're having a problem, if I'm having a problem, I don't gravitate, like last night, to the kitchen when the chocolate chip cookies are being baked. You smell them. Yeah. I'm not going to eat any of those. And you're okay. And then an hour later, there's a little tweak in your tummy about you might maybe be hungry. You're not sure. Could be. You don't take any chances. So you get in the kitchen. Just to be safe, you cover your base and you eat a couple of those things with some cold milk. I should have said, Lord, I ask you for the power now. Oh, Lord, he's calling me again. Oh, Lord, she's calling me again. Lord, I ask you for the power to resist. And he'll do it. The Holy Spirit's function now is different than what it was in the Old Testament. By the way, when the rapture takes place and the church is caught up into heaven, the Holy Spirit, if you read the Old Testament and the book of Revelation carefully, the Holy Spirit will assume the function that it did during the Old Testament times, except for one thing. He will come upon the mainly Jewish believers, but certainly a multitude of Gentiles, even so great that nobody can number. And they will prophesy and all, and they will fulfill the prophecy of Jude that Peter said, by the way, began on the day of Pentecost. That explains how great salvation will take place during the tribulation period. But the Holy Spirit will focus upon the nation of Israel predominantly. And there'll be a great, great working. Even though the gifts will be very present, the daughters, the sons and all, the old men will dream dreams, prophesy in vision. He says, you shall be witnesses. The word witness means to bear record of the evidence, to give testimony to what you've seen, to what you've experienced. The word means to be based upon facts, to give evidence. God says, you will be those who argue for my existence, for my word. And by the way, the most damning effect to a church today is the attack of not the government, not liberals, not liberal theologians. That's not threatening the church. The greatest attack, it's not Satan. The greatest attack, the greatest damning effect upon the church are powerless, lukewarm Christians.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 4 and verses 7 through 16, where Paul expounds on gifts for the believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. United in the Gifts is the title of this mini-series. Now, on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll hear the first part of a special Thanksgiving presentation by Pastor Jack that will be airing for most of this week, so be sure and join us for that. Now remember, if Real Radio has aided you in gaining greater scriptural knowledge and spiritual growth, feel free to let us know. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. You can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. Which is a toll-free number, or you can write us at Real Radio, and we'll give that address out in just a minute. Here's an email that comes from a listener on the East Coast. Dear Pastor Jack, I just wanted to let you know that your teachings are such a blessing. I listen to you every morning at 8:30. Your love for God's Word and its importance in the life of the believer just oozes out in everything you teach, and that is very powerful. I also appreciate it when you specify that you are, quote, talking to the believer right now, end quote. I have also been blessed by the resources that I have ordered from your ministry, the Why Am I series, and the letter goes on. Remember, there's no rule for how short or long the email or letter needs to be. It can be small, medium, or large. Just visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or again, our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you've gotten something to write with by now, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of that contact information, just visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.